Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show this fine Tuesday afternoon, where the temperature outside in Phoenix is only 175 degrees. Jesus Christ, it's hot. It's hot, hot, hot. Just like this show. Like I said, everybody, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. We have a loaded show for you today. Lakers handle Portland. Have some sound for you from LBJ as well as Anthony Davis. Clippers play Dallas tonight. And what has been probably the best series, got some news and notes about that series and how I think that will turn out. Matt Nagy spoke today. That's right. He spoke about the quarterback situation. We'll have sound and my thoughts on that. And the Lions called off practice. And I want to revisit some of this stuff that has to do with Brett Brown in Philadelphia, because as soon as we got off the air yesterday, and I mean as soon as we got off the air yesterday, he got fired. He got let go. His services were no longer required. They showed him the door, put him out. Any way you want to say it, he's not working there today. So we'll get into all that and much, much more right here on the Cave Show with PLR. And I have a big announcement to make, huge announcement to make. We'll do that as the show gets going. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School, that's locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. One of the best selections of cigars you're going to find in this valley. Now, here's the cool part. Let's say you can't make it down there. Don't worry about it. You can go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com, and they'll ship you out that same selection you find online, you find in a store. It's shipped out directly to you. Most days they ship same day. I mean, if you go online at 6 at night, I can't help you then. But almost every other item gets shipped the exact same day. So you're missing out on nothing. Now, like I said, though, if you do go in there in person, so let them know the PLR sent you, you get 10% off of your cigar purchase. If you take a look around, I guarantee you, you'll want to become a club member. By becoming a club member, it gets you access to the members' lounge. It gets you a locker that backs up to a humidor, and you never have to worry about your sticks going bad at all. Inside that members' lounge, there is an ice maker, a refrigerator, tons of televisions, couches, everything. It's all the comforts of being home, but without all the work that you do while you're at home. So check it out. Become a club member over at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. They do serve beer and wine, so I don't have to give you anything else. Now, this week, before I let this go, this week we will not be doing a regular Cave Show, Cigar with the Cave Show. We have something else coming. Announce that later. But all that's done at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR, and thank you for letting me get an hour of your day this Tuesday. I want to jump right in. I want to talk about the Lakers and what happened last night. You know, it's really funny. When the series first started, or before the series started, everyone spoke about how the Blazers were going to be very dangerous, very, very dangerous for the Lakers. And they came out the first game and they played incredibly well. And I think a lot of that had to do with a whole lot of things. Now, for those of us that have watched basketball and then just start in the bubble, we knew the Lakers were a better team. When you have two of the top five players in the world on the team, there's your advantage right there. That and the fact that Portland just doesn't play defense. And with them, I don't know if it's a matter of can't play, won't play, or not the right athletes to play. But their defense is really lacking. And you can't do that. So they come out and they win the first game, and everyone is saying, see, I told you. We had Charles Barkley over there with the broom, ready to just sweep the Lakers out. Well, Charles knew that the Lakers weren't going to get swept. We all knew the Lakers weren't going to get swept. LeBron James is not getting swept out of the first round. If they lost to Portland, it would have been a seven-game deal. It would not have been a sweep. And that first game, you got to remember, the Blazers were hot. They had only dropped a couple games in a restart. They had to play a game the Saturday before that Monday as the 8 seed, which, again, they eliminated Memphis completely. Then they got the Lakers right away. Lakers had the number one seed in the West wrapped up. Not like it matters because every home game is at the same place. But they had the number one seed wrapped up, and they didn't have that same we have to play for something now drive. It wasn't there because it wasn't needed. So they were like an older car. They're an older team, and so they were like an older car. You don't just come out, and I'm telling you from someone that grew up in Chicago, you don't just come out in dead of wintertime and hop in your 1976 car and just take off. You got to let that bad boy warm up. But once it's warmed up, now you're going. Yeah, you could just hop in your new, back in those days, they used to call it the import cars. You can hop in your little import, start right up, take right off. You and all four cylinders. But when you got in that muscle American car, eight cylinders, regular gas, it had to warm up. But once it warmed up, you just touch that accelerator and you're gone. And your little import, you're putting along. And that's really the Lakers. They're an old car. But once they get going, it's hard to get them to stop. Monday last week, game one was the first time, I want to say it was Monday, was the first time the Lakers actually had something to play for since the season wrapped. And Portland was already in a groove, and the Lakers were not. Now the Lakers are in that groove. And Portland is the team that's banged up. First we had Dame with the finger. Now we have Dame with the lower extremities with his leg. So if any team is in trouble, it's the Portland Trailblazers. And I didn't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I really did. I told you from the jump that the Lakers are going to win the series. I said six. It's looking more like it's going to be five. But I didn't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. As my man Usher said, I did not get caught up. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Because you knew what the Lakers had. Well, at least I think most people should have known what the Lakers had. And I understand that Dame is that dude. But so is LeBron. So is AD. And the only team I think can beat him is having their own battles right now with Dallas. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Because actually, I think that series is a wrap as well. But there is no way at all that I thought the Lakers were going to fall to Portland, barring an injury to a really key player. Just didn't see that happening. And it's not going to happen. Like I said, barring an injury to a really key player. So yesterday, they got in them. They played on August 24th, 8th month, 24th day. Kobe's number 8, Kobe's number 24. It would have taken a Herculean effort from Portland to win yesterday. Everyone that had anything to do with the Lakers was fired up. Kobe's birthday was Sunday. They played on Monday on 8/24. At one point in the game, the Lakers were up 24-8. LeBron was asked if he noticed that, and he said, of course. He notices everything. And when he looked up, he said, man, this dude's in the building with us. Listen, I could tell you everything LeBron said, or I could play you what LeBron said. He's talking about playing on 8/24.
It was an honor. It's been an honor to just put on the Lakers uniform, even before the passing of the great Kobe Bryant. And tonight was another one of those moments for myself, for this organization, for all the players that was able to wear those uniforms that he that was inspired by him and his mind and his creativity. So to go out there and one day removed from his birthday and then his day of 8/24 to be able to have a game on this day, the stars aligned. I did notice that we were up 24-8. Because I'm always trying to figure out what's going on throughout the course of the game. I'm always looking if we're up, if we're down, what's the team fouls and all of that nature. And when I looked up there and seen 24-8, I was like, okay, this is he's here in the building. So, you know, it was a beautiful night for our franchise. It's something that we probably will always remember. You know, game four of the 2020 playoffs in this moment.
It meant a lot to everyone yesterday. Like LeBron said, they were wearing the specially designed jerseys. They had little Mamacita's number, Gigi's number 2, on the lapel as well. And it was a special day all the way around. And that's why I said, if you thought you were going to beat the Lakers yesterday, you would have had to come with something more than just your regular best. Long time ago, someone said to me, their boss said, a guy said to his boss, I'm giving you my best. And the boss looked at him and said, well, your best isn't good enough. Well, last night, your best wasn't going to be good enough. Not to beat the Lakers last night. Final score was 135-115. And when I tell you it wasn't that close, it wasn't that close. And so much of it was about Kobe and the aura of Kobe, the jerseys by Kobe, the date of Kobe, the score, matching Kobe. And we hear that Mamba mentality. Diana Taurasi explained what it meant to her. Here's what it means to LeBron James, the Mamba mentality.
Just work hard. Not much more you could say. Everyone has their own definition about it or their own mantra about it. You don't get you don't see any benefits if you don't work. And I've always been like that. And to be able to continue his legacy is something that hits home for me, and it's easy for me because I put in the work. And if you want to see results, you gotta work at it. And it's not about the wins or the losses and you know, all of that nature. It's just about a lot of people want to see results, but a lot of people don't want to put in the work. And he wasn't one of those guys, and I'm not one of those guys. So just an honor to be able to continue that legacy.
There's a line from the movie Ocean's 13 where Al Pacino says, I want the baby, not the labor pains. And that's basically what LeBron was saying. A lot of people don't want to put in that work. A lot of people don't want to take the time to perfect their craft. And to him, that's what the Mamba mentality is all about. In regards to the game, though, AD left back spasms. His back is okay, but he also talked about the way they played, the way they came out. And like I said, it would have taken a Herculean effort to beat them last night. But here's AD Anthony Davis talking about his back is okay for the most part, and just the way they came out and played.
Back is going fine. I'll be fine. We came out very dominant. Obviously we know they're going to play with a sense of desperation, and we want to be the hardest playing team. We came out with that sense of urgency that we need on both ends of the floor. We were able to, win this, on a very emotional, special night for us, wearing the Kobe jerseys, and realizing that the first time we, played again after the tragedy was also against Portland, and they were able to take that one from us at home. But, we just wanted to make sure that we did everything we could to get this win for them.
And they did. Like I said, the game wasn't even close. Everyone talks about playing with LeBron and playing with LeBron in the playoffs and what his mentality is like. And we hear Mamba mentality a lot, but so many players that have played with LeBron James talks about how he changes, how the intensity level goes up. This is Anthony Davis's first playoff run with LBJ. What is he seeing? How is LeBron come playoff time?
Obviously, we kicked it up a notch. His level of focus is definitely increased, and the entire team's level of focus increased. He's very detailed about everything. He's in there with the coaches for film sessions. He's talking to me during film sessions. Off the court, when we're not, more so talking about basketball, we talk about anything else, might be watching other games or playing video games or whatever, and something just registers in his head, and he just, talks about it. So, he wants to win, I want to win, and we know that it's going to take both of us to do it, the entire team. And so we're just trying to continue to find ways to get better, even after, wins like this. There's always something that we can get better at for game five. And, I'm pretty sure that he's going to have a list of things for me tomorrow and for our team. So as a coaching staff, we try to get better.
So, long story short, Lakers are in full control of the series, up 3-1. Excuse me, playing the way that they're playing. I picked the Lakers in six. Portland may have one more in them. They can squeeze out, maybe. I'm not betting the house on it, but they probably have one more in them that they can squeeze out. Obviously, it has to be the next game. Duh. So, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it takes us. Lakers are in full control. And if they keep winning games at these margins, you don't have to play LeBron heavy minutes, which is big when you're playing an aging guy every other day. And I don't care how big of a superstar you are. Father Time doesn't lie to any of us. You don't feel the same. Body's not the same at 35 as it was at 21, at 25, at 30, hell, at 31. So we'll see where that takes us. Lakers in full control of their situation. We'll come back. We still have the Clippers and Dallas to talk about. A couple other series. Talk a little bit about the Sixers. I got some Bears information for you. Lions information for you. With a whole turn of events with them today. And the Cardinals made a huge signing. And last but not least, Earl Thomas. What the hell exactly are you doing, my man? We'll get into all that right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up." because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us today on The Cave Show. I apologize. I'm going to try to squeeze a call in. I just had two callers drop off. I apologize. You called during a commercial. I can't make you call during a commercial. Call in number 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. A couple quick things you want to make sure you're checking out every day, 3 o'clock, replay of The Cave Show, as heard on KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. Make sure you download the app, please, over at Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Also, you know you get us every day live at 1 on BTR as well as KSRN, and then I come back again as a replay at 3 o'clock. So thank you, everyone, for checking us out. You also can listen to any show that we have if you go to The Cave Show, to the Sports Cave. Dot Cave is with the K. A lot of shows on there. If you listen to the listen, click the listen button. You can check out a lot of our past shows. Also on the website, on the left hand side, as you're looking at the site, we have a bunch of our top shows and a couple top interviews. So you can always check us out right there. So it is Tuesday. A couple other things I wanted to get into real quick. The Dallas and LA Clippers series has been an outstanding series. I think that's been the best series so far, followed by Houston, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, we could talk about everything else and the sweeps and all that, but those aren't good series. Denver-Utah is not really a good series, again, because there's a 3-1 deficit. But those series that are tied 2-2 are just tied 2-2. They've been very competitive games. Everyone keeps saying, you know, Dallas could technically be up 3-1. I don't know. Every time you change one thing in a game, something else changes. I do know this. Tonight's game at Dallas and the Clippers, Dallas will be without Kristaps Porzingis again, which doesn't bode well at all for them. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Clippers find a way to lose tonight without Porzingis being on the court. They will not win the series. They will lose the next game as well, because their confidence will be shot, and Dallas's confidence will be sky high. Now, reverse that. If the Clippers win tonight, to me, that doesn't mean Dallas is out. I think it puts the Clippers in the driver's seat, but I don't think Dallas is out of it. So I think that's a little different tone. You can tell the Clippers are missing their lead dog, though. And I don't mean talented lead dog. I don't mean the leader of the team. I mean their emotional lead dog and Patrick Beverley. There's just something missing. His tenacity, his fire, his grit, his unbelievable desire to, as they like to say in football, muck everything up. That's missing. He doesn't mind getting under people's skin. He is a professional irritant. Professional irritant. And I know that you have other irritants like Montrezl Harrell and other guys on the team that can bug you. No one bugs you like Pat Bear. Paul George has shot the ball ridiculously poor. In fact, no one has missed percentage-wise more shots with the number of shots he's taken in four games since 1960. So he is in a slump. The only way to get out of a slump, though, is to be aggressive offensively. Get to the rack, get yourself out, get to the free throw line, see the ball going through the net. And I know a lot of people say that a lot, and a lot of people that, you know, watch basketball or do basketball casually say, wow, everyone makes that such a big deal. It is a huge deal. When you can see the ball go through the net and it's coming out the bottom of the net, your confidence level goes up. That's why there are drills that you run with kids where you have them shoot layups and work back. You don't have them shooting threes and working in because you want their confidence level to grow. As you move out, you get more confident. And then once you start hitting, it's good night. I think Paul George will be fine tonight. I think the Clippers will be fine tonight. I think we will probably see the best game that the Clippers played all season. Zubac on pregame earlier today said they're not worried about Paul George. He's going to be fine. There's so many other things he can do other than just scoring. Look, the Clippers have enough offensive punch. But he does need to be more effective offensively. And you know I'm not a big analytics guy, but he has to find a way to be more effective. Big time. Because you can get scoring from Reggie Jackson. You won't get much defense, but you can get scoring from Reggie Jackson. You can get scoring from Morris. You definitely can get scoring from Lou Williams. But you know Dallas is going to bring you, man. Rick Carlisle is their coach. Luka Doncic is their star. Seth Curry can start shooting the second he gets off the bus. Tim Hardaway Jr. These guys are all ballers, man. They're going to come ready. This is not going to be an easy game. No. Will not be an easy game. Hopefully, no. It's an entertaining game. Moving right along, yesterday Milwaukee beat the snot out of Orlando. Again, they suffered from the same thing the Lakers suffered from. The only difference is we knew Orlando wasn't going to give them a good run anyway. But Milwaukee hasn't had anything to play for since they got in the bubble. Orlando hit everything they threw up game one, and then reality set in. Milwaukee started playing defense, and it was big brother playing little brother. And now they're playing pissed off. And you know what I mean, big brother playing little brother. If you have a little brother and you're playing basketball with them and they hit a shot on you and they look too happy, it just pisses you off and you make sure you block everything they put up after that. And your goal isn't to win, it's to not let them score again. That's the way Milwaukee defense is playing right now. So it's 3-1 in essence. That series is over 4-1. Miami took Indiana out. I'm surprised. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very surprised at that. I did not think that Miami would sweep Indiana. I thought it was going to be a 6-7 game series. I thought Miami was going to win. I thought they were better than Indiana. I didn't know they were 4 games better than Indiana. Maybe I should go back and listen to my old tape prediction. Maybe I had this pick better than I'm remembering. But just Miami's tough, man. You don't play for Spoelstra and Riley and not be tough. You don't send Jimmy Butler out there and not be tough. It's a tough team. It's a tough-minded team. So that series is done, completely done. And then OKC and Houston, like I said, if Houston had Russell Westbrook, I picked them. Without Russell Westbrook, I said they lose. Well, they've been without him for 4 games, and it's 2-2, and the way Houston started, they tried to make me wrong real quick. But look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. Watching Houston play basketball is like watching some teams play Major League Baseball. Let's hit the ball and wait for – let's get one man on, and then let's wait for a home run. Let's get someone on, and then we wait for a home run. Or we'll hit solo home runs all day on. We don't play station to station. We don't steal bases. We don't sacrifice. We don't hit to the other side. We don't go with pitches. All we're going to do is try to hit everything out the park. To me, that's Houston. Everything is either a three, a layup, or a free throw. I was watching them play. Austin Rivers drove to the hoop. There was no one in front of him. I was the closest defender, and I'm in Arizona. And he kicked it out for a three. And they can shoot layups. Another game I was watching, I want to say it was James Harden, dribbled the ball, faked his defender out, had a mid-range jump shot, right about just inside the free throw line. Had the shot. Instead of raising up, he kept his dribble and back up. I saw him take a mid-range the other day. He hit it because he could play, and I was shocked. You can't feast or famine basketball. You can't cheat the game, man. Look at some of the best players in the league. KD, Kawhi, AD, they all shoot the best shot. If it's a three, take it. It's a layup, take it. It's a mid-range, take it. These guys are so programmed that they only shoot threes and layups. All they shoot. They won't even look at the rim if they're not there. They shot 58 threes out of their 91 shots. They shot more threes than twos. I don't even know how to even wrap my arms around that. That's just truly amazing. And I know that's their brand of basketball. And I'm not hating on their brand of basketball. But for me, that's just real tough to watch. Real tough to watch. And if you look at their shot chart, out of their 91 shots and their 58 were threes, they took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what would be considered 9 jumpers. 9. Everything else were threes. Wow. Crazy. All right, look, we got to jump out, take a quick break. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We're going to try to squeeze in a couple calls. We still got a ton of bear sounds that we have to get to before this is over. I want to talk about the Lions. I want to talk about Earl Thomas. I want to talk about Buddha down here with the Cardinals resigning. So we got a lot to do, short time. Callers, hang in there with me through this break. It's a very short commercial break. It's only about 15 seconds. I'll get right to the calls first and then get to the sound. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on all social media platforms, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Again, Cave is with a K. Like I said, a lot of sounds I want to get to before the show ends, but I promise I squeeze in a couple calls. I want to squeeze in one now. I think this is my good buddy from out east, from the way of New Jersey. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR.
It is. It is, Paul.
What's up, buddy? How are you, Lou?
Well, all right. Well, it looks like that little scare that the Lakers and the Bucks got in Game 1 was just a little scare, and that's all, because now they have taken complete control over the series.
You are 100%
surprised. Yeah. Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be long before, you know, they find their knack, and they finally got it. I mean, it's not becoming a runaway. It isn't even close to it. In the games. It's just been one route after another since Game 1.
Yeah, they just had to find their sea legs. They're good now. They're good.
Yeah.
I thought the Lakers would have had more of a challenge. I had them in 6. The Bucks kind of surprised me because I had them in a sweep. But they both found their sea legs. They're ready to roll.
Yeah, what about with the Sixers? You know, Brent Brown is gone, which I'm not really too surprised. you know, being that they've been so inconsistent all year. You know, at home they were great, and then on the road they just tanked. And, you know, the past few seasons, the postseason, they haven't really got past the first round. So I'm not really surprised by, you know, Brown's dismissal.
I don't think anyone is. In actuality, I put a poll question on the Sports Cave Twitter that said, was he getting fired while he was in Orlando, or were they going to at least let him fly back to Philly to do it? Because that was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be gone. And I think everyone made mistakes with that organization. Unfortunately, you can't fire 15 players and the GM and the president of basketball operations. So the coach is usually the one that bites the bullet. And unfortunately, this is the only sport that I'll say this, that professional sports are the only sports where I don't necessarily feel bad when someone gets fired because they will keep their income. I know it's bad for the family, but I'm talking money-wise. Yeah. They'll still have to pay them out. And usually good coaches like Brett Brown end up in another organization as an assistant before he gets another chance. So I feel bad when families have to move. But it's not like the guy down at the local grocery store, he loses his job and he doesn't know where he's going to get his next paycheck. You know, when the coach gets fired, they know they're going to have that other paycheck coming.
Yeah, they just ship him somewhere else.
Yeah, so that's what I mean by that.
Yeah. Now, the big story of the day is there's rumors going out Lionel Messi is going to leave Barcelona.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That is huge in football news.
Mm-hmm. I think of all of Colombia as just shocking belief.
So much money involved in soccer that people don't realize, but I mean, if that's what he wants, the good for him.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, if we're talking like, you know, the biggest soccer star since Pele.
Yes. Yeah, that's huge. It's not felt the same in the States, but it's huge news. I guess to put it in the way a lot of folks I'm sure listening to the show in terms of football, Messi moving would be the equivalent of Michael Jordan deciding not to play for the Bulls, still play, and going to play for Houston. I guess.
Or like when Gretzky left Edmonton to go to Los Angeles. Oh, boy, that was
Los
a shock.
Angeles. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, like that. It would take something like that.
Yeah, so it kind of, you know, goes along the same lines, even though, you know, people make things differ. I mean, different generation, too. But, you know, when you look at it, it's all the same ones. You lose, you know, your big star that brought, you know, that brought the country together with the athletes, and then he's bolting out.
Yep. That is big.
Mm-hmm.
That is big news.
And 16 days in kind until the first NFL game.
Ugh, yes, this is right. It's coming.
Yeah.
And while you're online, I'll just say I can't wait for football.
I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Yep, and I hope they really pull this off. I really do. The one good thing that we're seeing though, as a country, the cases are going down. So that's good. I hope, I'm praying it's going down because people are being smarter and a lot of mitigation has been going on. I just hope that as it goes down and things slowly start to open, as my great grandmother and grandmother would say, that people don't then start showing the ass again and put us right back to where we were.
Well, the thing is, you know, what took you so long to get this right? You know, you could have done this earlier, and we could have been out of this mess by now. So what took you so long, stupid?
Yeah, so like I said, hopefully mitigation efforts have paid off, and people see that, and we'll get back to where we were. But let's not close our eyes, because there's still people getting sick. Usain Bolt had a party at his house. Olympic sprinter had a no-mask party, and guess who now has coronavirus? So we can't take our foot off just yet. You still got to still be in mitigation mode just to keep yourself safe as possible.
Exactly, because we're going to be in this for a few years at least.
Yep. Yep.
No matter how you look
so,
at it.
Yep.
But Miami so says they're going to try and get – Florida says they're going to try and get fans in their stadiums and whatnot. So, you know, there is some return to normalcy. I don't know if people – a lot of people – some people think it's a good idea, but some people don't. So pick your poison there.
The Canes and the Dolphins, they want to get fans in. But they're not the only ones. Dallas will have fans. Pittsburgh Steelers will have fans. So there's a lot of teams that'll probably have fans. I think New York has ruled it out. I know Chicago's ruled it out. LA's ruled it out. So some of the bigger metropolitans. And, again, I hate to break it down like this, but generally if you look at a lot of the states that have said yes, most of them have been right-leaning. Most of the big cities and the left-leaning have said no. Places like Pittsburgh, that's kind of in the middle, you know, that's tough to say, but hopefully, look, I honestly, I think it's getting old. I don't care if you're red, blue, green, or yellow. Let's just do what's right by people and try to keep as many people safe.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. But the important thing is that, you know, everything's starting to come back to normal. Football will be back in 2 weeks. College football is going to start on the 10th of September, I think. So at least we're getting some sense of normalcy in the sports world.
Yes,
it's only
we are.
Been 6 months, but it feels like it's been like 6 years.
Hey, you're not lying, my friend.
No.
You're not lying.
Yeah. All right. So on that note, I'll take my leave, and we'll talk again same time tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Good to catch up with you.
All right.
Thanks, Lou. Good friend of the program, Lou. Good to catch up. And he was right on it, NFL. And some NFL, other NFL news, I should say. Today, the Detroit Lions canceled their practice in protest of the shooting of Jason Blake. I don't know if anyone listening saw the tape, but Blake was shot 7 times in the back by a Kenosha, Wisconsin officer. Unfortunately, there was not a body cam taped by the police. And if we're just honest, that looked real bad. I've heard some, you know, I've heard one police officer in the Phoenix area say, you know, it looked like a righteous, you know, use of force. Honestly, I think he's a walking idiot, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not a big fan always of Officer Tatum, but if you're feeling that, honestly, I have a hard time seeing someone get shot 7 times in the back and say that's proper force. But that's a whole other story. The three Lions players, Bron Herrmann, Trey Flowers, and Taylor Decker led, I guess, were the centerpieces of the Detroit Lions, saying they're not going to practice today. The entire team joined up and said with a sign, and said, we will not be silent, we won't be silent. And quotes, they said, as a team, we looked each other in the eyes and realized that football isn't important today. Harmon said, we have a platform that we are able to use, not just to raise awareness, but to create change. So that's that with Detroit. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that today on this show, but the Detroit Lions made a stand today and made their stand known to let you know how they felt about the situation in Kenosha. I still want to talk Bears. We're coming up against it. Buda Baker with the Cardinals just signed, highest paid safety. He's going to make a whole lot of money. Buda, if you have it, you could always let me hold 20 till tomorrow. I'm sure you have it because you just signed for a whole bunch of money. So, and I don't know if you know that saying, I'm sorry, folks, that is a Chicago saying, let me hold 20 means let me borrow 20. And you usually, the person that tells you, let me hold it and I'll get you back, they never get you back. But he signed a 4-year extension worth $59 million. Dylan is going to average about close to $15 million every year. So he's a hell of a safety man. If you haven't seen this kid play, he can flat out play football. So good for him. Step away for 15 seconds. But come back. We got that bear sound that I promised you. And my fleeing final thoughts on the Philadelphia 76ers. And I didn't forget, I have a big announcement to make. So we'll be back in exactly 15 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Tuesday. This week is going fast. I got a lot of hats I put on. The kids haven't been cleared to go back to school yet, so I'm a teacher, which makes me a short order cook. I'm on tech whenever their laptops stop working, so I'm all of a sudden on tech, and then I'm emergency questions. And then I get all the hey dads, and then I go from a breakfast short order cook to a lunchtime short order cook. So every day, different jobs, but it's all good. That's the fun part about being a dad, and the best job I ever received in my life. The Bears. Yes, 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 the Chicago Bears. I should play the Chicago Bears theme song, but I'm not going to figure out what's going on with these quarterbacks and figure out what's happening. Matt Nagy addressed the media today. He was asked about how the quarterbacks look. How did Mitchell look today? How did both quarterbacks look today between him and Nick Foles? This is what Coach Nagy said.
And then today, you look at both quarterbacks. You asked about Mitch, and there was a couple balls that I think he would want back, a few here or there, that just, you know, with the accuracy might not be exactly what he wanted. I thought with Nick, too, I thought both of them, there's a couple of progressions where with the eyes, making sure that we, especially in 7-on-7, maybe test it downfield instead of taking a check down. I thought you saw a little bit of that from both of them today. So in 7-on, it's a good time to test it, even if it's not so much the greatest read. Test it and see what some of these players can do. So that's okay, though. We just keep rolling. We keep, you know, getting after it.
I feel like season hasn't even started. I feel like crying. What the hell are the Bears trying to do to me? There's a couple of throws Mitchell could have taken back. Who has commanded offense, Coach?
Well, yeah, their command getting in and out of the huddle is both pretty good. They understand what they're doing. They know the lingo. Some of this now is when you come out, for instance, we have an example where we use a word that flips the X and the Z receiver. And it seems very simple to me. It seems very simple to the quarterbacks. But when you have a rookie that goes out there and he hears it, he hasn't heard that word as much over the last couple of years as we have. So for him, when he breaks the huddle, he goes to the wrong place. And so it might look like it's a mistake of the quarterback. He called it wrong or didn't. And so you have some of that. We're testing our guys right now with the moving around of different parts of the offense. We're testing them. We're probably at the top right now as far as the volume. So you'll see some of that. But for the most part, those guys are in and out of the huddle. They're calling the plays. They're working on their cadences. I'm talking about the quarterbacks. And that part I'm not concerned about. Now it's the next part of making sure we're all seeing the right defense.
And that one was kind of aimed at a couple of different things. One with the running backs picking up different things. Who has command? Do they know where they're going? Are quarterbacks getting them in the right spot? On that, Mitchell is staying pretty much even, which shouldn't surprise anybody. He's in the system. This is his third year in the system. If he doesn't know the terminology now and getting guys in the right spot, then we have a whole different situation, whole different. So that I mentioned, I feel like crying in season as even. I got a bet with my man Keith Pompeo over at Philly Inquirer. Got receipts. I bet him on the show. It's fun betting. Don't call gambling cops on me, whatever. But I bet him the Bears be better than the Giants. and we're in training camp, and I still got Mitch throwing balls that he wish he had today back. Come on, man. But I said, okay, wait a second. What if they're rolling Mitchell out with the second string and they're rolling Foles out with the first team? Right? No. Can't even get away.
100% Hub. Yep, we're doing that. And that's where Flip is doing. He has a chart that he uses every day, and he puts it on my desk at night. Once we go through all the video and the tape and we see the why part, which is basically what you're saying, once you see the why part, now we're able to say, okay, this was a good decision. This was a poor decision. This was a good throw. This was a poor throw with accuracy. So every night we have that. We have that for both quarterbacks. There are reps. You guys would be, I mean, maybe you're not amazed, but I mean, every single rep is, I think, now I don't know about today, but it should be exactly dead even in regards to the reps. And they're doing a good job of going against the ones and twos, splitting that up too. So we're getting to the point of conceptually, are they running the same concepts as well? So far those guys have done well, and we just got to, we'll eventually have to use that to make a final decision.
So no excuses. They're both getting the same amount of reps, first team, second team. No one has an advantage. Now, Mitch, I feel like crying. I did. I know we talk the Bears a lot on this show. I can apologize for it, but I'm not. If your quarterback was Mitchell Trubisky, what would you do? It's coming down to crunch time. Coming down to crunch time. Who are you picking? Coach Nagy. Who are you with?
The time is of the essence right now, and it's crunched. There's, for every team right now that's going through competitions, it's crunched. Once we knew what the schedule was going to be like, you have to just accept it. Once you accept it, now you gotta let them just go play. And then inevitably at some point in time, we're going to have to make a decision, right? And so remember in this, we said we make a decision, what's best for the Bears, no agenda involved. Once we make that decision, now we roll with that. And now you have live reps. Now you have games where you're going to see exactly where you're at. And you hope that you are making the right decision. But you have to, you know, every team has to do that, and the fact that you're one play away at the quarterback position and being at the next guy. So once we make that decision, we move on and we play football. But time is not in our favor for sure.
I still don't know what direction it's going. You know what? I think his heart, honestly, this is my opinion only. I shouldn't even say his heart. I think his head is telling him, you can't trust Mitchell. But I think they have to see him fail and hope that he doesn't. And hopefully that made sense the way I said it. They have to give him one more shot. He was the number two overall pick. You got to give him one more shot. One more. And if he passes the test, if he can pass the test, then you know what? Ryan Pace, you look a whole lot better. Nagy, you prove that you're a ridiculously good coach to coach this guy, and everything works out. So I think everything in them is going to let them or compel them to give him one more shot. So if I have to bet, I bet your opening day starter is Mitchell Trubisky with a really tight rope. And I'm sure today isn't the last day we're going to talk about it. I'm sure this is obviously the last hour we're going to have from the Bears. Did I mention that I'm tearing up crying already? Yeah, I did. In other news around the association, Earl Thomas, I don't know what the hell this dude is doing. There are football fights all the time. All the time. What the hell did you do to the Ravens to get them to cut you after a fight? And how bad did they already want to cut you? Because there was no type of mitigation. Let's figure it out. It was your cut now. So there is something going on. We know the off-season transgressions with him, his brother, his wife, loaded gun, other woman. When I say it like that, it all sounds bad because it all was bad. But according to Dallas, they're not close to signing him. Deep down, I think that's where he wants to go. We know that because when he played for Seattle, he once went in their locker room area and said, come get me. I know this. Things don't look good in terms of character right now for a guy that's a really good football player, but it's getting up in age, and now you have to start to weigh out. Is the headache worth the return? Is he a headache? Or are these just individual situations that didn't quite go the way that they wished they would have went? Yesterday, before we signed off, in other news and notes, we said we knew the Sixers were going to fire Brett Brown. I think everybody knew that. Soon as we got off the air, he was like, go. Listen, I said it earlier to Lou, to our caller, that, look, I feel bad when anyone loses their job. They got to uproot their family. They got to move people around. That sucks. Financially, I'm sure Brett Brown is going to be in a good place if he's done the right things with his money. But Philly had to go in a different direction. They say they are not interested in trading either one of their young superstars. So we shall see. But I do know this. Ben Simmons needs to learn to shoot. And Joel Embiid needs to learn how to play hard every single day. Diamondbacks lost six in a row. We'll have sound after the game tonight. We'll have it for tomorrow. But I'm sure somewhere deep down, manager Troy Lovallo is saying
it's
this.
It's been a different mindset, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I don't know if I should laugh or if I should cry. But we're going to be ready.
And I think they're there again. That's it. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. And oh, that special announcement. We have a special Zoom meeting Saturday at Maduro's. I will air a lot of the snippets right here. We'll have it on YouTube, get it uploaded, get it on Instagram. We'll have it there. We have several guests. I'm going to drop the first one right now. Chris Zurich, former Notre Dame football player, former Chicago Bear. He will be in. We will be talking football, sports, and cigars. All that on a special Saturday Zoom from Maduro's. That's going to be fun. Make sure you're following us on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, at Sports Cave, Caves with a K. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Caves with a K. And you can get me over on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great rest of your Tuesday. Hump day is tomorrow. Have some fun with it. As we like to say, first off, thank you for joining us on the Cave Show at PLR. CSPLR, Tips, Mighty Tips, bring us home.